The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
This is another monkey piloted rocket trip to the moon.
Blah, blah, blah. They killed a goose.
They did.
And now...
Stuck with this
fucking shit.
Blah, blah, blah. This shit.
It's not right. Wait, hey. Stuck with this fucking shit.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right. Wait, hey. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Wait, hey. Stuck with this fucking shit.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right. Guys come in, all the blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right. I know what I'll do. I'll go out and rob everybody blind and go to Argentina, because nobody ever thought of this before. Guys come in, all the blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right. You know, so they killed a goose, and a fucking man's worked all his life. He's got a...
That's right.
...cower in his boots.
Shoes, boots, yes.
Guys come in, all the blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right.
What do you do?
What can you do? Guys come in, all the blah, 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 blah.
Control over there, you know what I mean?
But for the grace of God. Stressed. You need to feel the despair. It's the only way you're going to understand what's going on here, ever. And I, the Bard of Broadcasting, the godfather of internet radio, the blah, 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 third man, the vegetable man, the man who can get you through the next 2 hours of your life, one way or the other. My name is Frank Catola, man, and I'm going to title of the show. Come on, let's go. From Ice Cap to Ice Cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. The blah, 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 the blah, 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 the blah, 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 the blah, 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 the blah, blah, blah. Ed Nelson. Now all the Eds come into my head, right? Ed Harris? I don't even know if that's his name, and I probably have it right. Blah, 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 blah. I'd just like to loop that for 2 hours. Do you think you can get through that? I'll just walk off, and you can hear that. That's as good as radio gets, okay? Anywhere else, you could listen to any particular talk show anywhere. This, that, the other thing. You have any topic, any particular genre, what have you, intellectual, erudite, or, you know, just sloppy conservative, anything. You know what all of it represents? Blah, 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 blah. Goddamn right it's right. That's right. Goddamn right it's right. And so my name is Frank Catola, the man whose name adorns the title of the show, the man who brought from the depths of the earth, conjured the spirits so that this particular form of communication could exist. And now it's not even a shadow of what it was when it started, or even a year or two after it started. But in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, I am still here. It is Y2K plus 18, and this is Catola Chronicles, chronicling. You ain't heard nothing yet. As I explained last week, there's a number of ways that you could become involved. Asking, if you email me at fcatola@yahoo.com, asking about shows gone, which may have been documented, digitally recorded. I mean, calling it recorded when you... No, I guess they still do, because, you know, the button still says record. Record. Okay. I guess it works. And asking people to go to the blog, which CatolaChronicles.blogspot.com. Remember, the blog is not even as old as the show. The show is older than the blog. This format, this platform, this digital theater is older than all of it put together. It's older than all of it, all of your devices, all of your apps, everything. Does that mean I'm decomposing? Yes. Yes. Not rapidly, but, you know, as time, as it comes to all men, decomposition, age. What I mean by that? I meant that people have been responding and saying, you know, I'd like to hear this show or that show or this show or that show. And I'm getting so many responses that it's tough to pinpoint them. So if I find like two or three that maybe have the same request, I go ahead. And that's one of the things we're going to do on this evening. Granted, if there's time after I talk about what I want to talk about. So you're going to get what you get. A couple of things came up I think I'd like to talk about in the meantime. Then, should there be time, and I'm sure there will be, I'm going to go back to January 10th, Y2K plus 8. That's 10 years ago. And some, because it's May. So it's 10 years and how many months? 5 months? 4 months? And one of the most requested people who was a guest on the show is an author named Pai Kim Conant, or Conant. Conant? Conant? C-O-N-A-N-T. She wrote a book. She's Oriental. She wrote a book called Sex Secrets of the American of An American Geisha. Or is it Geisha? Or the Geisha? And a Geisha, and again, I'm saying it for all, I'm saying it in the way that people say it from the east to the west of North America. Because some will say geish, some will say geish. No one will say gosh. Geisha. Geisha. Every time I say it, it seems right, which is one of the things I want to talk about. Okay, let me get to this. Okay, so if I get a chance, her appearance from January 10, 2008, she was on I the year before that too. But people wrote to me and said, Pai Kim, man, forget about Conant. I guess that's her married name. Pai Kim. Remember the Pai Kim? Remember Pai Kim talking about how to be an American geisha? Men loved this show because she has a distinctive, beautiful, traditional, oriental view of a woman's power of femininity. And the book is terrific. And I want to tell you something. I haven't talked to her in years, literally. I hope she's well. She has this book, which is still available. Yes, I'm hawking it because I think that it's true. She gets a spike in sales now. God bless her. At Amazon, Secrets of an American Geisha. You can get it. It's a yellow cover. You're colorblind. I don't know what color will show up. Yellow, usually colorblind people can see yellow. But let's not talk about colorblind people and the various types of colorblindness. People have asked for this show, and not all of them were male. So if I get a chance and I don't go off, if I don't go down some rabbit holes and fly around and crawl through this, you know, the terrain of undertopic, subtopic, related topics, then we'll be able to go to Pi. She's great. And I know I should have had her on again, is what I should have done. But this came to me later on. Look, you know, the deal is this. And you know the deal. I come here because I do this, and I have done this, because nobody else does this at all. And the people who like this come here so, and to listen to me do this because nobody else does this and blah, 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 blah. So I'm trying to prepare rebroadcasts, or just broadcasts. There's no such word as rebroadcast. Broadcasts for people who are in another generation of listeners. See, the people who listened to this show when it started I don't know where they may be or where they're located. I know some of them have passed on. And not just as listeners, but in life. And I know that, there are others. Well, I don't know how many generations it's been. Okay, but, so the, it's taken time, you know, you lose an audience, you pick it up again, you pick it up. And here we are now. And I'm trying to get people who haven't, let people in on some of the great things we have done. And thank goodness we were allowed, through the grace of continuing advances in technology, to eventually record these digitally and keep them on file in archives. And they've been in the archives and preserved and backed up through any number of breakdowns, motherboard busting and electrical damage and just burning out of stuff that happened to the machines, because ultimately, as brilliant as this interweb thing and digital world of communication is to us, and by comparison to what we did have, it's still just a machine that makes it run, and the machine needs electricity, and some of the machines need batteries, and the same old crap backs it up. So it breaks down. So if we get a chance for that, and we will. We will get a chance for that. I'll tell you what, we will get a chance for that. I know, because one of these things is so self-serving that it just, but I just have to get it off my chest. Because I read it and I went, what? 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 Let me remind you that because I've said this before, last couple of weeks I've been saying this, what's going to go on? As we do move on, we will have some guests that you know or don't know coming back. Charles Dennis, I told you, is coming back, and he is coming back with surprise guests. And we're going to be talking about a book that he has written, which is now available. I'll start hawking that when I get a chance. Hollywood Raj, it's called. Hollywood Raj. If you want to go ahead and buy it, go ahead. Go ahead. Go to Amazon. Everything's on Amazon. Because there's Amazon, there's no Kmart. Because there's Amazon, there's Sears crumbling from its foundation. You know, the whole thing, time, change, just moving on along the Hallelujah Trail. And, you know, I told you this was going to happen, didn't I? I told you it, the things that were going to be left behind as we continued to walk forward into the present. So Charles Dennis will be here on May 31st. Kind of a holiday, but the 31st falls on a Thursday. I'm not squeaking. That's just my chair. Jay Izzo said he will be back. I mean, talking about more junk you could put on the internet and how to do it. Now that they're experts. Ben Knoll. Wonderful comedian. We'll either be here live or be on Skype, which, what do you know? You don't know the difference. Here's someone on Skype. Sounds like they're here. You're not on Skype. Some people, you know, come here. Literally, come here. A couple of them backed out. We're going to come here. Some of them came here and said, I'm going to come back here. Others said, I'll be back. Others say, I'm coming. I'll be there. I guarantee you. And then you'll lose track of them forever. There's no science to this. To putting together a show like this, when you have, you know, one person running it, one person doing everything, and all the other things this person does, this person being me, in order to survive. So I don't give it up. This is Phil Hong from SRM Media Works said, well, you know, it's a tradition. He's in traditions, right? Okay. I've become a tradition. Don't ever, and I want to say this, I was mentioned in an article this week in LA, and somebody, I'm not even going to mention the person's name because I have and I will again, but not now, said, use the term legendary, and, young person, and I don't want, you know, I mean, I rally against these things. I campaign to have people speak simply, but in English, and not using words that aren't new. They're not new words, but these definitions that are added to words that just don't, they're so far, they're so distant from the original and true definition of a word that it makes me sick. I am not legendary, and I'm sorry for those of you. It's stupid, and I won't accept it. Why did I say that? I don't know. Because of anyone coming on here? No, that just came up. Okay, the Three Amigos will be back. Tom Savino, of course, who, if you're listening on the SRN live stream, you can hear right after this show, live stream. And anywhere else. And you could download it at juicedtalk.com. Artist D.com, where you can get a whole bunch of shows, including the Artist D. Now, the Artist D will be back sometime or other. Artist D and my son Ray Cotolo and some other people, of course, do that Forethought at YouTube Live on Tuesday nights. I did it, but I became sick of everybody and everything. Yeah, what can I tell you? It's too much already. I left. I really needed to free that time up, and it was very stressful being on a show with anybody else. I know what that sounds like. It sounds megalomaniacal, and it's not, okay? It's not. I barely am able to listen as I speak when I do a solo show or with a guest or two. So don't give me that. So the Artist D will be here because the Artist D says, you know, there are things to talk about that I've talked about that the Artist D wants to express stuff about. Sure, fine, because, you know, we go back a long way, as does this show. So I said, Tom Martin, and the three amigos will all be on once. Hopefully everybody's okay. Jay Izzo will be back and he'll be, Ben Knoll, who has never been, yes, has been on once. I'm sorry. Was on once here live and will be some way or another. And anyone else we can get on, including people we have lost track of at the moment. I'm like, Dr. Popley. Where's Dr. Popley? I call him. I email him. I hope he's okay. As I've mentioned before, any number of times, when someone is missing, when somebody's in my life and then they're missing for some reason or other, incommunicado, I worry. I'm concerned that they no longer exist. Not because they, like they can't exist without me. That's not the point. The point is that's mostly when you hear the worst things about people. What is the worst thing you can hear about people? They're dead. And I don't like that. That's a very old psychological fear stuck in my head, in my heart, or wherever the heck these psychological fears stick themselves. They adhere to your heart and your memory and all parts of your brain, which really doesn't care what you think. Brain doesn't care. The brain's on, it's working, and when it stops, it stops. Doesn't care. There's no care involved. There's no emotion. The brain, this is all electrical. It's the same, the brain is the same thing as the machine. You got this wonderful, complicated format platform of communication, right? And it's still still run by batteries, electricity, the same crap that ran black and white TVs and now color TVs and everything. It's electricity and batteries. What do you think? There are batteries. I told people a long time ago, I keep saying a long time ago, I hate saying it. Back then, invest in batteries, all sorts of batteries, because as the digital platform becomes bigger, as it spans the commercial world, everything is going to be run on batteries and electricity. That's it. Bingo. Now, before we go to Pi Kim, if we get to Pi Kim, where's the other thing? Okay, I got it. What I have to do is go to my mail, and I have to open up a link and explain this to you. Where is this here? Here, Cron's topic, May 17th. There we go. I'm going to read this as I go along, because I haven't read the... what is it with this Foxfire? Fox, what is it? What am I on, anyway? What's it called? Foxfire? Yeah. There's a new version. What do these new versions do? They just screw me up. They're new, tired of these new versions. So I see this thing from The Guardian. Now, granted, I'm going to take this rather, I'm not taking this personally, but I have a strange personal connection to this in a certain way. And I think all of this combined energy you're going to hear has to do with stuff I can't tell you because I have projects going on that I cannot disclose, and stuff I have done, which are still going on, and you should know about if you listen to this because I talk about it enough. The Guardian, here's another, right? Newspapers, and now they're all online. There is a thing called the Wodehouse Prize. The Wodehouse, the Bollinger Everyman Wodehouse Prize for comic fiction withheld. Oh, for comic fiction. I was reading the headline there. I shouldn't have. Okay. What this does, what is this? Let's see. This year's new, it's a novel. It's a comic novel. They give prizes for comic fiction to books. Now, I did not know this. I did not know this award existed. I don't know if I would have submitted, but I want to read you something because they had an unprecedented year in 2018, which already the prizes for the Bollinger Everyman Wodehouse Award for comic novels has already been given. This year there were 62 novels submitted. So I'm learning this too. So you submit novels to this organization. That, Wodehouse, P.G. Wodehouse, was a, he was a writer of humorous proportions. And you don't have to go in your history. If you have your Cthulhu Chronicles notebook, you could write down the name. Look, this goes back to a very classic, this humor, printed humor, books, stories, short stories, things that just don't exist any longer. This is the stuff that influenced people of my age and the generation or the generation before me. Just that generation and this generation, baby boomers and the World War II baby, or whatever they were called. There was some kind of, we were war babies. They were, and World War II babies, or whatever. People who wrote, and some of them like people I've mentioned here on this show over the years when we talked about writing, Max Schulman, who influenced Woody Allen, and Mr. Wodehouse, coming out of the 20s into the war, and then it starts to die somewhere along the way. The Algonquin Hotel, which housed many of the people, including S.J. Kaufman. Kaufman, who I'll mention again later, because it fits into what I'm saying. Okay, so Wodehouse, they give these awards. Now, let me read some of this, tell you why this is unprecedented this year, and why I have, why this bothers me. Okay. Okay. This year's new novels are not much of a laugh. This is from Allison Flood, writing in The Guardian, 16th of May, Y2K plus 18. This year's new novels are not much of a laugh, at least according to the judges of the United Kingdom's only prize for comic fiction, who have taken the unprecedented decision to withhold the award after failing to be sufficiently amused by the 62 books submitted. This is truly the death of humor in this form of humor. This is where we have come since then. Remember in 2017, there were other ones that were given awards, but there's like 62 books that were purportedly humorous were submitted and did not work. The Bollinger Everyday Wodehouse Prize for Comic Fiction, which has been running since 2000, goes to the novel deemed to best capture the comic spirit of the late P.G. Wodehouse. In another blow to a year that has already suffered from its fair share of doom and gloom, judges revealed recently that they had not found a book they felt worthy, and quote, to join the heady comedic ranks of P.G. Wodehouse, unquote, or of previous winners such as Marina Luica, I don't know. And Alexander McCall Smith. Luica? What the heck? Marina? Luca. It's L-E-W-Y-C-K-A, if you're writing it down. None of the 62 novels submitted for the prize this year prompted, and this is the quote here, ready? Prompted unanimous abundant laughter, unquote, said the judges. Instead, they only managed to provoke wry smiles. Wry smiles. Here's a complete quote from Judge David Campbell, who publishes Every Man's Library. My fellow judges and I have decided to withhold the prize this year to maintain the extremely high standards of comic fiction that the prize represents. Despite the submitted books producing many a wry smile amongst, even if you're British, you can't write amongst. Despite the submitted books producing many a wry smile among the panel during the judging process, we did not feel that any of the books is even pro. Gosh, even in The Guardian there are typos. I'm sorry to stop like this, but it just drives me nuts. We've gone from print to interweb, and Allison deserves better proofreading than this. Okay. Among the panel during the judging process, we did not feel that any of the books we read this year incited the level of unanimous laughter we have come to expect. We look forward to awarding a large rollover prize next year to a hilariously funny book. Hilariously funny. Hilarious means funny. Hilariously funny. I'm stopping right now from the criticism. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a Nazi of teaching. I'm not a teaching Nazi. I'm not a Nazi of the language. I spoke so badly once. I wrote so badly once that I spend my life now doing what people should do. Speak well, simply and well. Learn more words. Speak simply and well, not redundant. Okay. The prize's winner is usually presented, this is Allison writing again, presented with a case of champagne and a rare breed pig named after the winning novel at the annual Hay Literary Festival. Next year's bumper prize, of course, it'll have a carryover just like a pick six or a pick nine. Next year's bumper prize will include a Methuselah of bubbly and particularly large pig. A Methuselah of bubbly. That's okay. Organizers would not reveal the titles of the books submitted this year for the prize, whose previous winners include, here you go, Helen Fielding's Bridget Jones's Baby, which won in 2017. Ian McEwan's Solar, which won in 2010, and Terry Pratchett's Snuff, which won in 2012. Campbell, whose fellow judges included broadcaster James Naughty, his name is Naughty, okay, T-I-E at the end, Naughty. I don't know how else he could pronounce it, but British people have some very strange names. James Naughty and stand-up comedian Sindhu V admitted that writing a genuinely funny novel was a difficult task. Quote, Wodehouse is so incredibly great, he really does make you laugh out loud. But that's not an easy thing to do at all. There were lots of very good novels, but nothing outstandingly funny. Nothing stood out this year. There were a lot of witty submissions, bloody good novels, but they weren't comic novels. The alchemy was not there. Unquote. Since you're here, I have a small favor to ask. Oh, The Guardian wants you to... Oh, that's it. And The Guardian wants you to write. Okay, so why did that hit me? I'll tell you why that hit me. Years ago, already I'm talking years ago, a book that can be purchased by me, no, I don't purchase, a book by me, which can be purchased on Amazon, is called License to Skill. I have talked to you about this book, and I've hawked it, and I said, hey, you know, you should go buy it. It's funny as hell. How do I know it's funny in hell? I'll tell you how I know. Because regular people who aren't critics, people, whatever, have said, this is laugh out loud funny. That's the best possible, compliment you could get, as Wodehouse got many times. And as you see, as you heard, you didn't see me say it, you heard me say it, review there. Okay. And this book, which was turned into a screenplay, which has a number of different draft versions, by wonderful partner of mine in Hollywood, Peggy Jean Robinson, who's been on the show before. Peggy Jean Robinson, who works in movies and was recently involved in that great movie. They say it's great. I haven't seen it, so I'm not giving a personal endorsement on that. Three Billboards and a Highway, whatever that was. The one that Sam Rockwell won an Oscar, and so did the other one, the lady from Fargo, whose name just escaped me right now. Okay, so Peggy loves this, and so does her husband. Her husband, T. Stephen Gesick, is the man who has done all of the illustrations in my other books, Molotov Memoirs, and more Molotov Memoirs, the sequel, okay, which you can get at blurb.com. So that's her husband. And he's worked on, been art director on like Tosh, 0.12 or whatever that is, and some other TV shows and things that he does. And he has exhibitions of his own art. And Peggy, when the screenplay was going around, Peggy was also showing the novel, which we almost got published by some other company, but that's a long story and we don't need to tell it. A License to Skill is in the true nature of Wodehouse and in the nature of the Algonquin group, Max Shulman, and that intellectually zany, I guess it we could call it. I don't know what to call it, but when the novel was being shown around to various people who would work on scripts, even though we had drafts of this as a movie. But of course, you can never put an entire book on the screen. You'd have to cut this and cut that, okay? But it would make for a great movie, even parts of it. Ow! Excuse me! I hit the return. Actually, it didn't hurt. It just surprised me, because I didn't know it was going to be there when my hand moved. So there are a few people who read it, literally, which is a bad thing to say about a book. They literally said, this is too funny. What do you mean by that? What's something that's too funny? And they don't mean like, oh, it's too funny, you know, like as a throwaway line. They mean it's too funny. You've got to give a reader, you've got to give a person in a movie, if you're going to make this into a movie, you've got to give a person a chance to breathe. License to Skill, available for, I think, $2.99. It's got some great reviews there, too, if you read it on Amazon, under my name, of course, Frank Atolo, with my other books. Some of my other books, they're all over the place. So the idea was that, is like, this is just too funny. And laugh out loud funny, as some other people just went on. You could ask Peggy Robinson, who has memorized parts of the book and goes back and reads parts of the book. It's a book, you know, the book that has, it's about a writer. And that's all I can tell you. It's tough for me to explain it. But a part of me that is an insecure writer, even though, you know, I'm told I write pretty well. But someone says, well, this would never make it to Wodehouse. These guys are all, you know, Wodehouse-minded, intellectual, you know, they're Kaufmans. When somebody said to me, and I said to S.J. Kaufman, or Perlman, S.J., it was Kaufman and Perlman is the other one. That's S.J. Perlman. That's right. Perlman, and Kaufman is another guy. But S.J. Perlman, and someone said one of these guys who did the opposite. He wrote funny stuff, comic relief for movies, scripts that needed the little lightning. Not lightning, you know, electric lightening. They needed to be sprinkled a little humor, you know, some comic relief, per se, from the drama. This guy does this for a living. And he's the one who said, this is like S.J. Perlman. This book is like S.J. Perlman, which, of course, I don't know if you know, of course, I'm saying, which leads us into a whole world of the Algonquin Circle in New York, and those old New Yorker people, and which leads us through the art world of Salvatore Dali and into the Marx Brothers. Okay, that Broadway stuff, okay? Vaudeville turned Broadway. This is exactly what I was weaned upon as a writer, even though I had not put it so well. And when I wrote this book, I was certainly inspired and added to it in a neo-postmodernist way. It was taking all of that stuff and it was filtering through me and my humor and what have you. And I had already had a career in humor, so bingo. And I'm going, how did I not, you should have known about this. I wonder if I'm still, and I'm going to keep this article, I'm going to write to Allison and say, hey, you know, maybe I can get a Wodehouse award from this. I never submitted it. I didn't know there were awards for comic. So it's like, why didn't I do it? Well, I didn't do it. And if I got rejected and didn't win, that's one thing. But when I read this article, I said to myself, wow, I wonder if I would have been the funniest and therefore have won. Or if I would have had to submit a traditional hardcover thing, hardcover book, I don't know what, whatever. Would I have had to do that? Would this not have been funny? But that's my personal reason. Now, the other reason was what I was telling you before. Look at what's happened to humor. Look at how humor has gone through remarkable changes that it's some of it is indescribable, because you talk about millennial humor and before that. It's another reason, and that was another thing I'm attempting to do. I'm going to find somebody who's going to remain nameless and to be on this show live and talk about this kind of stuff. Okay, the epic changes and metamorphosis of things like humor and music, art, into millennial and after that. I keep forgetting the name of the generation after the millennials, because we're already gone from there, aren't we? I think so. Okay. So there's a License to Skill. This is not all because this is a commercial. It's not a commercial for a License to Skill. But okay, if it's a commercial, I'm going to buy it. It's $2.99. It's only digital. It's at Amazon. If you're going to go, and you tell me if it's funny, you tell me if I should somehow get it into a contest or something. And, you know, I don't like contests and I don't like awards. So let me tell you that right off the bat. And the only thing I would just be a personal victory if somehow I won. You know, there were 63 novels. Mine was the 63rd and was the only one everything else got a mention. I haven't read the other ones that they consider incredibly funny, or they consider to be in the true spirit of Wodehouse. I don't know what they think, they're the judges, but I have one journalist writing contests, which I only entered for various political reasons and because there was money involved. This is a case of champagne, which I don't really drink, but I could give as a very nice gift to somebody, and a pig, Why would I put a pig? You know, Peggy Robinson wanted me to get a goat. And yeah, she was going to pay me to raise the goat. The goat would eat, so I wouldn't have to mow my grass. It would stay in the confines of my acreage and be able to eat all the grass and maybe a few tin cans if I don't put them in the recyclable. Because you know that whole thing about goats eating? You don't know that. Goats eating tin cans, anybody? Hello? That's me. I had nobody at the door. So anyway, that's the Wodehouse thing, and a very cleverly placed commercial for License to Skill. Laugh out loud funny. You know, it was also something, there's something unpublished also. There's another book that is done. It's epic. I called it the only epic comic novel, and it went through. It was got some very good reviews from agents and people who read books to publish them in, at publishing houses, okay? But nobody knew. They all said, what do we do with this? And I've talked about this book. It's called The Complete and Unabridged History of Japan. It's a book within a book. It's a book about writing the book. Because Japan is the nucleus of all mankind. What do we do with this book? Said one of these. This is hilarious. It is incredibly funny. What do we do with it? Other people, and this is amazing. Other people said, this is just too long. I can't read this. Too long. Listen to this. No investment in reading something entertaining. They'll binge on Breaking Bad for 2 days. As long, well, you know, cause they're smoking weed. Nobody calls it pot anymore. It's weed. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just reporting to you what they do and how different what they do is to what had been done and why they don't have the attention span to read an epic comic novel. And so, there's that book too, which is in the style of License to Skill, but you don't have it. Now I was going to, there was a plan I had a partner who was helping me put together, extracting parts from this epic novel to put out separately in, segments, episodes. But that relationship ended. See, because people got lives to lead. What can I tell you? You know, it just didn't work out. So that never happened. I don't have the time to do that because I'm into other projects now that are diverse in their writing projects, which I lean toward because they offer greater success as a writer. And by success, I mean a wider audience, and with a wider audience comes money. That kind of stuff. That's all I'm going to say about it, because I can't say anything else or be sued forever and give away great ideas, which I've done enough of that in this show year after year after year. I just think of something, and I'd think of something, and I'd say it, and it would go out on the air. Next thing you know, somebody took it and went with it. I can't supply the energy. I don't have the energy supply to follow through on every great idea I have. There's just too many great ideas. Some of them may have bombed if I did them, but I don't have the time. And as I grow older, guess what? Time is limited. Right? What? Come on. We all know that, don't we? My name is Frank Cotolo, and the man whose name adorns the title of this show. This show is Cotolo Chronicles. And it comes to you live streamed on Thursdays through SRM Media Works. And it is repeated. It is broadcast in other venues of interweb radio stations. Interweb stations. What do we call them? Interweb portals of sound? I don't know. You can't, you know, what? I don't know the names of these things, because people just go, well, it's a podcast, right? But you can get the archives versions and listen to it yourself. You can download it yourself. You can listen to it on these other stations. Juiced Talk. Juiced, I'm saying J-U-I-C-E-D-T-A-L, talk, juiced talk, dot com, okay? All right. Yeah. Oh, wow. My Jewish, every once in a while, when I'm alone, and I'm alone a lot, which is okay. I'm not saying, I'm just saying I'm alone a lot, but so much goes on in my head. So much work is going on. So much stuff that I'm doing. I'm doing it if I'm tired. I'm doing it if I'm well slept. I'm doing it if I'm hungry. I'm doing it if I'm full. I'm doing it if I'm well. I'm doing it if I'm sick. Because that's how I live. And I stop and I just do this Lou Costello laugh, which turns into crying. Did you ever see that? Why don't you write that down in your Tolo Chronicles notebook? So you could go into the library of the interweb, whether it's YouTube or Reddit or RedTube or Udit or whatever else you go for these things. There's so many things now. It's inundating. I just don't walk away. This other thing that's been happening, and I haven't followed this, but I thought I'd mention it at the beginning of the, we'll have time, because, see, that's done for now. You could go and buy the books, buy the funny books or the serious books. Hey, you know what's both? Man of La Mancha. Mantra, not Mancha. Those of you who know the Don Quixote version, Man of La Mancha, which is a version of Don Quixote, which is in itself a comic novel, but different, not really. My version, Man of La Mancha, you know what a mantra? You know what is a mantra? See, at one end, it is. Man of La Mancha is also available on Amazon by me. And it, come on, it, it's based on Don Quixote. I tell that to people, young people, and they go, oh, it is? Well, who's he? Who's Quixote? Is that K-E-Y, Hody, H-O-T-E? You know what? It's a good name for a rapper. Quixote. Ladies and gentlemen, Quixote. Boom. I better than a lovey and I got a bound. Bound, anyhow, boom. I go to the town and I say that bound and I go right down and I go one round. That's not even rap, is it? That's just things that rhyme with the end word in a sentence. I'm going to do it now. It'll laugh and turn into the cry. That's serious and funny. It's beautiful, I've been told. I'm not ashamed to say what I think is great, because to me it's an accomplishment when I write something and it touches me. If it touches me, it'll touch someone else. That's what they say. And that's the word. That. Now, what is this thing? What is this thing called love? We're 6 minutes away from the top of the hour, in which time we're gonna look at the, I'll have to queue up the Pi Kim thing, because I didn't look. I didn't check it out. It was like 2 minutes before I had to go on. And I went, uh-oh. I'm lucky enough that I had to find the file. Let me get to where's my mail thing again? Here's my mail thing. Here's another thing that just, what is this going on here? Where is it? Here. There are problems with Wired. This is from Wired Magazine? Yeah. Remember Wired? I think I told you about Wired. Let me read this to you. And I don't know where this, I heard it. And I'm sure a number of you heard it. There's this, I don't know where it was. Was it on YouTube? Maybe we could find it. Hold on. Okay, yeah, I could do it here. I think it's on YouTube. Let me find this. And we could demonstrate in sound, what would it be? Okay, maybe if I just type in something here. Oh, come on. Here, look at this. It came right here. Okay. There's, come on. There's this thing. Memes. What are memes? Memes? I see this thing going, I guess my son, how do you pronounce this? Is this a meme or a meme? What the hell? I don't know exactly how. I'll read to you what this says here. It's a meme? Yeah. This happened recently. Certain internet phenomena catch fire. Some Wired magazine, which is, you know, hands down the best. Hands down. Yeah, don't point to something else. Hands down. It's the best. What does that mean? It means stop gesticulating about something? I don't know. Certain internet phenomena catch fire because they divide us into camps. The Annies and the Laurels, the blue and the blacks and the white and the golds. It's only natural when you feel that your perception of reality is in question to seek a second opinion and a third and a fourth. And thus is a viral internet moment born. But as Adam Rogers writes, so-called reality is in fact often subjective. And memes, isn't it memes? Meme. I always want to pronounce it probably incorrectly. Like Yanny versus Laurel, as fun as they may seem, are also a bleak reminder of a fundamental loneliness of human nature. What did I tell you at the beginning of the show? Huh? Desperation and despair. Despair and desperation, right? Feel it. I will get you through the 2 hours and coming to peace with it all. Right as we're right at the, bing, right at the top of the hour. Okay? And here they were writing and what, telling me. Now this thing is this, this week's viral recording is actually, okay, let's see, I'm gonna play this. And then we'll talk about this for a little bit. Unless they throw a commercial on first? No. All the memes!
Ever since the dress incident of 2015, the internet has provided a never-ending stream of optical illusions, like the shiny legs, or this man who either looks like Tom Hanks or Bill Murray,
yeah.
Which is cool either way.
I guess so.
There were also some flip-flops involved. This time, however, it may be our ears playing tricks on
us. Here we go.
Reddit user Roland Camry posted this audio clip that sounds like Yanny to some people, but sounds like Laurel to others. Take a listen for yourself.
Yanny.
The clip went viral when @ChloeCouture tweeted it, and the rest is history. Much like when the dress happened, people are firmly taking sides.
Yeah,
on Team Laurel are the people like Ellen DeGeneres, Chris Melberger, Lauren Duca,
yeah, don't say Frank
Kelly Oxford.
Notice that? No, why not? Why not?
And Chrissy Teigen.
And they all heard Yanny.
Well, Mindy Kaling, Matt and Kim.
Yeah. This is
Ryan Distier.
Team Yanny. These are people who hear Yanny.
Reese Witherspoon.
When the person says Laurel.
And obviously Yanny think that it's Yanny. Yeah. Others heard something else entirely.
What?
Cookie Monster heard
what?
Cookies Crunching.
Oh,
RuPaul fans heard Miss Vanjie. Mary Louise Parker fans heard that she needs another TV show. Jumanji only heard its own theme song. And Kyle MacLachlan had his own interpretation.
Yeah. Damn fine coffee. Damn fine coffee. Damn fine coffee.
Hey, you're funny.
There were some other great reactions as well.
Guys.
Here are some of our favorites.
Here's some. Here's the obligatory. Guys, help me out. Does this dress, Laurel Yanny 2020. Okay, some people, you know, this is what happens. They'll go, but where is it again? Can I hear it again? I'm a Yanny with the Laurel rising. Everybody comes up with their ha ha ha. Very funny, all of you. I'm just reading this stuff here.
Thanks for watching, and let us know in the comments if you are Team Yanny or Team Laurel. We'll be back next week with all the memes.
All the memes. Oh, it's just memes. Meme. M-E-M. It's just going to be memes. If it's going to be memes, I would do M-E-E-M-S. Not memes. M-E-M-E is meme? And where did this other, where is it now? Let's find it again. Where is it?
Or all right,
be quiet. Let's give it to us again.
Which
where
is cool
it?
Either way.
Where do we find it here?
Come on. Playing tricks on us.
Here we go.
Reddit user Roland Camry posted this.
Okay, listen.
Yanny to some, Laurel to others.
Go ahead.
Take a listen for yourself.
Laurel. Laurel.
For yourself.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
So someone hears Yanny when someone says Laurel. What a disparity in pronunciation. Laurel and Yanny. And yet some people heard Yanny and continued to hear Yanny instead of Laurel. Now, it's not like someone heard plural for Laurel, which would be a rhyme. It just said Yanny. And I'm still wondering why they're memes. M-E-E-M-S is memes. And another thing I'm going to comment upon right now, and that is why everybody says now, news people, people on podcasts and YouTube casts and everything like, who want to play something that they care for you to listen to, they go, take a listen. Where did take a listen originate? Who started saying, take a listen? And on the news, they go, we're going to hear the president now. Let's say, we're going to hear the president from part of his speech today, and then we'll talk about it on the other side. Which means like when it's over. We'll talk about it on the other side. Take a listen. Where did take a listen? Did it come from take a look? Take a look, people used to say, if they want you to see something, take a look. And then someone decided that we should also take listens, not just listen. We should take a listen. Now, it was bad enough that we had to take a look. We couldn't just look. We had to take a look. Take a look. And then when you say, take a listen. Now everybody says, take a listen. And then I'll play it, and we can talk about it on the other side. I don't know how these things begin, where they originate, but I get tired of them becoming common. How could anyone hear Yanny?
Yanny. Yanny.
The clip.
Go ahead.
Yanny. Yanny.
Take a listen for yourself.
Yanny. Yanny.
I don't get it. I don't get memes. I don't know about memes. I don't know about Laurel being Yanny. What the hell is this? This is what the masses see. When something go viral, the masses have to go there. Which means, of course, now there are so many people who are connected, who aren't connected. As I was talking about this show, at the beginning of this show, about how it was back then. See? So different. Nobody would have thought about memes, listen, take a listen. There's no such thing as viral. The only viral thing going on was germs and flu season. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that the masses have taken over the internet and all of the devices. Now, everybody's there now. So something like this happens and people go, hey, did you hear Yanny or Laurel? I heard Laurel. I heard Yanny. And you know, ultimately, it's blah, 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 blah. I could tell you that's what we're talking about, because that's what memes. How do you get memes from I don't know. Why does it disturb me? Because I talk about these things here and have talked about these things from before there were these things. All right. My name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. And this show, which will continue here shortly with some other things. Oh, man, with more stuff, as soon as I find this stuff here. So we can all take a short, very short break, which would take us where? Well, you know, If you want to replenish your precious bodily fluids, You can do that. I'm always concerned, above all else we talk about, that you do not dehydrate. So, there's that. And then come back. Take a short one and come back and look at, who are these people who do all these things? Mashable water cooler. Yanni Laurel. Look at all, look, there are votes. And then, of course, the hashtag thing. And, oh, you know what I'm talking about because you're there. You do it. All right. Let me do this here. Moscow? What were I doing it? Moscow meme? Moscow, what's a Moscow? What is that? What am I looking? What was I looking for? Oh, right. Let's do this then. Here, we're going to play that and then give you a little extra time. Oh, boy. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man's name is the title of the show. Cotolo Chronicles. I was looking for, what is that? What is that called? Kremlin? Kremlin. I can't even remember. All right. Let's just do this. Let's do this so it fits after. So it fits after we take the little break. Yeah, okay. And then you'll be fine. I'll be fine. We'll all be fine. Don't go away. Some people hear a banjo. Other people hear a sitar. You know, this has words, you know. Don't you know? Some people have never heard it. The new audience has never heard it. I want to go. go there. I'm gonna make them up. I want to down to the Village Green, down in Washington Square. Change keys with every verse, I keep on singing there. I sing them down Delancey Street, down to Washington Square. I think it's West 4th Street, though. It's not Delancey Street. Well, my sister used to take me to see all the beatniks. She was a beatnik. Well before there were British invasions and long hair, that kind of long hair. When there were true Beatles, as the Beat Generation people were called there. My name is Frank Cotolo. Man, his name adorns the title of the show. You had a chance to dispose of bodily wastes and replenish your precious bodily fluids by getting a beverage. I have one. Just water. Not even flavored water. Is flavored water, well, as you know, you don't know. Can't say that anymore because there's so many people who have never heard things I've said again and again. But every liquid is water based, right? Because it's a liquid. There's no such thing as a liquid without water. And so every thing you drink is water that tastes, that's either water or tastes like something else. It's water that tastes like something else. You make tea by putting the bag into the water and the water gets the tea. You put the crush the beans and then run the water through it and you get water, which is called coffee, but it's water. Even the stuff you put down the drain that, you know, let it wait 5 minutes and then pour hot water into it to dissolve all the junk that you throw down the sink drain. That's this, right? Yeah. And, it's water. Because you don't drink it, so it doesn't taste like something else. There are liquids you do not put in your mouth. By the way, that is the name of my next book. Oh, there I've said it. There are liquids that you do not put in your mouth, by Frank Atoll. Now, people waiting for the Pie Kim. You see what happened? I only have 45 minutes of this show left. And I've got to find the Pie Kim section of Cotolo Chronicles, which...
The following show may...
See, that's it. It's starting all right there. Now, if I could do this... I have to do this while I'm on the air. There's Pie Kim. Let's see how quickly she can make
that display how much you love your food when you're eating in public or anywhere, right?
What?
Think about this for a second.
Confusing this.
Never make sounds that display or give away or express how much you're enjoying your food.
Yes.
Oh, you see, we're dealing with cells. That's okay. You sound.
Here we go.
And I said, that sounds like.
Wait.
Let's hang up and try it again.
Here we go. Here's Pie Kim. Here comes Pie Kim.
I only got it right here.
From 2008.
Right here. We'll do a double check.
Come on.
I could do a...
Get her on
Let's do a double check. I was talking while I did that. So perhaps I did. You see, this show happens as it happens.
You asked for it.
See, I'm off mic here right now trying to find out why.
What?
That sounded like Pie Kim, didn't it?
It is Pie Kim.
Did it? Oh, no, let's try it again.
Boy, it sounds like it's...
By dialing this number.
It sounds like it's happening, like, right now.
I'm going to keep out this. Okay, here. Maybe I dialed a different state, huh? It's going to be funny if it's still the wrong number, right? We're just going to make this person crazy, right? Let's see. Pie Kim?
Hello?
Hello, is this the number for Pie Kim?
Yes, Frank, hi.
What did you do? Did you not know it was me and hang up?
No, I couldn't hear you.
Okay.
No reason to hang up on you.
No reason to hang up on me? No, I said that sounds like her. You know how I know it sounds like you even though we haven't talked in a while? Pie? Oh boy, what happened to her now? We lost her again? Oh, it's a very funny joke here. Okay, let's do it again. Because she's so excited, you see. I'll just hit the redial. She's so excited that it's me. Let's get this secret straight. Pie?
Hello?
Pie, what happened now?
What happened? You hung up on me.
No, I didn't. I think you got one of those crackpot phones there.
Oh, I don't know. My phone is okay.
Okay.
This is my cell phone.
Okay. Oh, you see, we're dealing with cells. That's okay. You sound good. We can hear you. You sound fine. And you sound sexy.
Oh, thank you. I'm so sexy and feminine.
Not all, yeah, and you know
and
what?
And horny, Frank. What do you think about it?
You know.
Oh, you... I'm touching myself. Oh, what are you going to do?
Well,
you're so bad.
Take out the...
I'm a naughty girl.
Oh, that's a good... I'm naughty girl. I like that. See that?
I'm naughty girl.
Listen to her. Everybody, let's all do it together.
No. I'm not wearing any underwear.
No, well, you know what?
That,
do you know that most people who listen to this program don't?
No. Who are they?
Who are they? Hey, who are you people anyway?
I think only one person is listening to me. Only you.
No, not true. You know what? And you know, do you know that I wanted to mention this to you? We now have a fan club and a large number of people in Yokohama, Japan.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, we have a whole bunch of people out there who love to listen to this program. And the last time I spoke with one of them, or they wrote to me, they said, "We love when Pi is on."
Oh, are they Japanese?
I would think so. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Good English, kid. I mean, I'm not saying I speak good English, but, that's great.
You speak English well. You speak English.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and that's the, that's, so, this is, so you got a lot of people listening. If they're not listening live, they will be listening in the next couple of days, and you know, by downloading and all the newfangled ways that people listen to stuff.
How do they find out about you?
Well, it's
about your show.
Well, you know, I think it's just as simple as the fact that I am probably the most dynamic voice on alternative broadcasting, and you know. Were you choking or touching yourself again? That's what.
Oh no, that's kind of disgusting. You know, I have to
what
tell
do you, mean? What's
you about it, not just by yourself. That's not good.
I know. Okay, let's
not good for Asian cultures. Asian cultures, we don't do that. I'm the best. Yeah, really, yeah, you're the best. No, someone has to tell you that you are the best.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. It was a shock to me. I mean, I don't do a lot of promoting. I just do the program, and word of mouth is a wonderful thing. And I'll bet you have sold a lot of books, and a lot of people know you just based on word of mouth. I'll bet
you. Wow, in Japan?
Well, anywhere.
Oh, anywhere. Wow. But you don't know how many people are listening to your show.
Oh, well, no, I get an idea that over the course of the week, there will be a few thousand.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So, you see? So you are. So, next time, I would wear underwear. If I were you.
No, it's okay. I'm not wearing. I'm not. I don't need to. I'm so horny.
Tell us. Listen. I've been.
Sucky, $5.
$5?
$5.
You $5?
Sucky, $5.
No, $5.
$5. Discount to service. Free service.
Hey, Pi.
Yeah.
You do a video blog now, or I mean, I see you all over the place now. We see you. You're all over the place now.
Oh, because the damn YouTube.
YouTube.
Are you talking about YouTube thinging now?
Yes, YouTube. You got a whole program. What do you got going on there? Tell everybody how they can see you.
Okay, you know what? Good news first, and then I will tell you the bad news next.
We got good news.
Yes.
Okay, good news first.
YouTube, I got 10,000 people a day watched me starting like early December.
Right.
Every day, 10,000. Now it's getting more, and then 12,000, getting more, 14,000, getting more, 18,000. Then what happened yesterday? I'm a middle school teacher, okay?
Yes.
It's shocking? No. Then one of my students said, you know what? My friend told me that she saw you on YouTube.
Uh-oh.
And you're talking about sex, something, something. Oh, it's not good for something, something. But you know what? She's the worst case troublemaker in my class and around the school area. So if she talks about my show, then that's it. Maybe end of this week, I will be in trouble. So I rushed to go home yesterday, right after, you know, I heard that that's a rumor, so I kind of denied it to her. I said, what are you talking about? You know, you think I look like the other, you know, I pointed it out to another Asian girl. Do you think I look like that girl? No. I don't think, you know, don't stop. I mean, please stop spreading any rumor. It's not true. I don't know. What are you talking about? But in my mind, like, my heart was pounding like a boom, 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 boom. Anytime, like, if the principal might be walking in and, you know, let's talk, you know? I don't mind to get fired, but not now. And then I don't want my students to talk about sex in my class like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really bad timing that I heard that kind of stuff going on. So I went home. And, you know what, 500,000 people watched my show, my video clips, and then no regret that I had to cancel that account. So no more YouTube videos ever since yesterday afternoon.
And now,
no regret, because I have to protect my students.
Sure. Well, wait a second. How did they see it? There are certain things on YouTube where they don't allow you to go, that you have to...
I know, but it's easy to say, click, you know, are you over 18 years old?
They lie. Okay, they lie.
Click.
Right,
you have to just click. That's all. They just need to ask you for political reasons, but they just click.
That's a shame.
They don't show any ID. Just click.
So what did this one student say that you just said you were talking about sex, and so they were talking? What did she say?
Yeah, I heard that you're talking about sex, and then something is not good for something.
Okay.
Like, she didn't watch that show, so she heard it. Then, that's a happening. So I don't want, I guess if someone was talking about my show, then she heard that, then she was asking me, and then I denied the whole thing. So then today she told me again, I want to check on you again on YouTube today. Wasn't she famous? I asked her, wasn't she famous? Why do you know about her?
Yeah.
Well, so that's the end of YouTube, but I upload the same video clips all around the, you know, the video site. So.
Yeah.
You can watch my shows, but that's the YouTube story. I'm writing a marketing book about how to promote yourself on YouTube videos to attract the visitors to your website.
Oh, really?
So,
you're into something completely different here?
Yeah, completely different, because I'm a very marketing person, because I have done a lot of promotion by myself.
Right,
because nobody was helping me. So with my PR technique and skills and strategy, why don't I just use all the skills for YouTube videos marketing. It helped me, and it was successful. 500,000 people watched me within like a few months. That was, you know, I was nobody. Then just I promoted that way. Then it was really successful.
Let me ask you.
Why don't I just tell other people?
Okay.
I want to give them messages so they are successful too.
Let me ask you a question, Pi, before this gets there's something confusing to me here, and then what?
Go ahead.
Okay, go back a second to the school thing. Before the kids knew that, and you were getting into trouble. Wait a second. Your book. Didn't the administration or the people who hire you, didn't anybody know that your book is out there to be bought? I mean, why didn't the book get you in trouble? Why did YouTube get you in trouble?
Oh, I don't think it is I get in trouble, but the students, you know, I
worry. Don't they know about the book?
Just what if the students are acting up and saying, my teacher is talking about sex, you know, then it's hard to control the classroom.
Well, what if they had, didn't any of them see your book?
I don't know about the book, but the book is just hard to read. I mean, you know, few people read the book, but YouTube videos, easy to find out.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yes, yeah. And then I don't use my last name, Pai Kim, but it's my real last name. And then, of course, Pai is not my first name either.
No.
So I just totally hide my identity to protect my students. But still,
Cecile
you know,
Bergstein, everyone. Her name. Her real name is Cecile Bergstein.
No. Pai is from Pyong. First name is Pyong. I just have only two letters because the Pyong is hard to pronounce.
Right. Okay,
that's
so let's look at what you're doing, and then we definitely have to talk about sex again. But tell me what you're doing now. You're writing a book. Your new book is about promoting yourself and your
product. Your book. Okay.
Products and personalities on YouTube. Is that it?
Yeah, it's you upload your YouTube videos, and then you just sit there. You build it. Then people will come to you, right? But it's not true.
That's right. I've always said that's not true. I never believed it. Yeah.
No, not like your show. You just sit there, and then just people are coming to your show.
That's right.
Word of mouth. That's great. Your show is different, but a lot of the case is not that true.
That's true. That's true.
So people just put up the videos on YouTube, just sit there and do nothing about it. But there are so many things you can do without paying any penny, no money.
No money, free.
No money, really. Without spending any money, you can promote your YouTube videos. What's the motivation to put the YouTube videos? To sell your products, to promote yourself as a comedian, musician, to get more publicity, right?
Then right.
Eventually you might be on a big show like a late Letterman show or Jay Leno show. That's your motivation.
Right.
And my motivation is to become a co-host on The View with Barbara Walters.
Wow.
That's my motivation.
That's what you want to do, huh?
Yeah, that's my motivation. Who knows? Then
you don't have to teach those squirrely little kids who bother
you. I love it. You know, it gives me stable income plus, full benefits
for
me and my husband.
What does he do again?
What is it?
What does your husband do for a living?
Oh, he's a teacher at a college, too. But
wow.
He has a marketing background from Wharton MBA. So he's going to be my co-author because I don't have any marketing degree or background.
Okay.
But he has that all the years experience. So I asked him to be my co-author to sell books.
He should be your ghostwriter.
I want to put his name on it.
You should give. Because you didn't want to put his name on it, so that you could put the book in his shrine.
Right? No, that's not sex. This is a marketing book.
I know that.
But the shrine is for the second.
But I'm saying
writing a second.
Yeah, but you're teaching. See, you want to put his name in it. You're already getting on his good. See, you're already doing that feminine thing that you talk about.
Right? So, you know what? The people are hungry for looking for information how to promote YouTube videos.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, know the big problem, of course, is you're right. I mean, the big problem these days is not getting a great number of people because there are so millions of people out there who are surfing on the web and doing they're doing the stuff. The real secret, and nobody knows the secret, is how to make a buck off of it.
Yeah, and make sure they go to your website, right?
Right.
Yeah. Then they find out about your books, your products. Or you sign up for newsletter emails, which my motivation for people to come to my website. So I collect the emails, newsletter emails. So once I have a new product, then I send it out the newsletter to them and say, hey, I have a new product. Would you be interested? That's motivation too. But people just watch it and just move on. That's not good.
When will the book be done?
This will be ebook because, every time it's just every information will be changed within and every week. So I just.
Wow. It's
right.
Going to be a liquid book.
I was reading some
great
like
idea.
A book,
yeah.
Printed book, hardcover book.
Right.
Information is old. It's so old. But it's published in 2007. But I read that this information is already old.
Yeah, because so technology changes so.
It might be better because I want to change every week.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. You're gonna have to let me know when I can get it, and then when I get it, I'll read it. We'll talk about it, and you can be on again. And
good.
We can make that a discussion too, and then.
Right? Do you put your YouTube videos?
Well, you know, we've been talking about starting a program.
Uh-huh.
You know, what you know, they have those pages. We're going to start a program page.
What do you mean program page?
Well, I mean a page that's devoted to Cotolo Chronicles, not just to me. It's devoted to this program, and then we're going to put on little videos here and there and do some of that stuff just for fun.
Oh, it's awesome, you know, audio with this podcast plus video. That will be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be funny.
Because people are more visual now. They want to see it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it'll be fun. I try not, you know, I try to keep this radio thing as a radio thing. And, I mean, you know, but I can do it. I've done it before. I've been on stage.
Oh, good, yes.
And I don't have a face for radio. I've done it. You know, I've been in movies. Did you know that?
Well, you have been around the country.
I've been around the...
From San Diego to somewhere now.
Yeah, I've been, I was Mr. Hollywood once. But hey, let's get back to you. Enough about me. Let's get back to you.
But you know what? You told me that you writing or you wrote a book about Japanese something.
Yes.
A novel.
That's
what's
right.
Going on now?
I wrote the complete and unabridged history of Japan.
Oh,
yes.
Done it?
Huh?
Finished?
Oh yes, it's done. It's in the process of being. Yes, it's finished. Yes, it's finished, and it's in the process of being.
Getting an agent.
Yes, I need a good agent. I need a good book agent.
I will give you my agent. He's good.
Okay, you send me. You email me your agent's name, and I'll talk to him.
Oh, okay.
Because
it's a novel.
Yes, isn't that strange? It's a history of Japan. It's a novel. It's a complete and unabridged history of Japan.
It's not a history book.
It's a history book. Yes, it is, but it's a fictional history. A lot of it's true.
Uh-huh.
But you know what, Pi? Every history book is fiction if you think about it.
Oh, there's one author who gave me a testimonial. She wrote a fiction book, but something like a samurai or geisha. She wrote a geisha, something sex involved. So definitely she will give you a testimonial, too.
Good. Well, we'll talk to those.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
About you, too.
It's good networking. Well, you know, I could do that. It's my show, but I want to talk about you here now.
No, I want to talk about you because people want to know about you because it's hard for you to talk about yourself on your show.
Okay, if you go to Lulu, do you know what Lulu is? That's online publishing. Lulu.com?
Yes.
I have three books.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you go to lulu.com and you put in my name. I have a little storefront there and have three books of essays and...
Frank what?
Where is she? Cotolo, C-O-T-O-L-O.
Oh, that's your last name?
That's my last name, dear.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's Cotolo
Chronicles. What does Cotolo mean?
What does Cotolo mean anyway? You know what? It's a variation of the word knife.
Oh, knife?
It's a variation of the word knife. It goes all the way back to ancient times.
Oh, knife.
Knife, yes. Do you know how to say knife? Do you know how to say knife in French?
So three books about what?
No, she doesn't. My three books are about all sorts of things. They're about, some about history, some about, one of them is a fictional bunch of detective stories.
Uh-huh.
And they're all very entertaining. Now, you can't go to sleep reading one of my books, that's for sure.
Oh,
so you don't, don't read my books in bed. When you get
into... Wow, is it getting wet and getting horny?
Wet and horny? No, when you go to bed, get wet and horny. Don't read my books.
Is it for masturbation supplements?
Oh, no, I don't think anybody in the world would masturbate to my books. Believe me.
Wow.
I don't think so.
The samurai sword, you use the samurai sword.
Oh, there's lots
like,
of...
against the thighs and...
You're in a great mood tonight.
I have to.
You have to be because being. Hey, you know, why don't you talk about humor in sex? I was talking to someone recently about some intimate stuff, and this person, I'm not even going to say what sex this person was. Okay, just to say, this person was saying that men are not really. They don't really frolic. They take sex seriously, and if a woman gets funny or laughs or stuff, the men take that very personal. Okay, right. So this is not it's not a comedy fest when it comes to women. Should know this, right? Do you believe in that? Do you think that's true?
It is true because men take it everything personally if that is related to his penis, the cock, you know.
That's the same thing. Now, wouldn't that be the same thing, dear?
I use a cock. Sometimes I use a penis. I use a manhood.
Okay,
all right. Depends on what show.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So
yeah, someone told me that. Uh-huh. This is a family show. You have to be careful. Okay. So I said, build your manhood.
Manhood. You used manhood. Or you could use member.
Or a sex machine. I don't know.
Sex machine. Wow. Or how about mnemonic drill?
Mnemonic drill. So it is really true that, you know, if I say no to him, I don't want to have sex, and because I have a back pain or I have a menstruation or I have a PMS, you know, women have all kinds of problems.
Sure.
When you get older or younger, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, half of a month is all related to a woman thing.
And the man doesn't take that as reality, right? Just
no, he doesn't.
Just feels bad, right? Rejected.
He doesn't get that. You know, I said I have a headache 1 hour ago, and he just totally forgot about it. I still have a headache, but he just totally forget about it. Then he took a Viagra already 30 minutes ago. And then he's ready to pop. And then I said, I told you that I had the headache. I still have a headache. Then he got so pissed off. He took everything personally.
Yeah.
And he became moody.
Ooh.
Moody. Ooh. Whoa, moody.
Oh,
like,
moody man. We don't want a moody man.
See, because I have a headache, I said I can't have a sex because I have a headache. But he took everything personally, means I don't love him
okay,
anymore.
So,
I don't love his talk anymore.
Okay, so
I don't love his even personality anymore.
So here, well, let me just see if we understand the dynamic here. The point is that the woman is very happy to tell the truth, but the man doesn't want to hear the truth because he takes it strikes his ego and everything, and so he becomes insulted and takes it personally. And then when he does that and he's not understanding, then the woman gets mad because she wants to tell him the truth and she don't like the way he's behaving because she told him the truth. Is that the dynamic?
Oh yeah, of course. We don't like for example, his size is so really small. I mean, to compare to my ex-boyfriend. I mean, for example, my husband's size is really average, but I'm just, for example, I mean, your man's penis is really small, but you tell him that your size is really small, telling the truth to him? Whoa, that's the, you know, suicide bomb.
A suicide bomb!
He wants to kill himself. Well, you killed him already! Never get it up. Never get it up.
Wow.
That's it. He doesn't want to see you anymore. That's it. The end of his story. No relationship after. If you don't love my cog and you said my cog is small, this is it.
I don't see any respect
from you. This is it.
So this puts a real, real...
what's wrong with a man?
Whoa. Hello? What's wrong?
What's wrong with a man? Really? What's wrong with a man? I mean, I just say, you know, your cock is small. I'm just telling the truth.
Right.
But he doesn't want to hear that truth about cock.
No one wants that truth about
cock. And his brain are all related, connected to each other.
So wait a second. So you're saying that men, no matter what size they are, they want to feel that they're, a guided missile?
Yeah.
They always want to feel that. That's just
it. He knows that. He knows that he has a small cock, so don't even mention that.
Oh, my God.
I love your cock no matter your size. Ooh.
Right.
Means that she knows already. Don't even mention the size.
Right.
He is small.
So women, though, modern day women have a problem. Are you, don't they? They have a problem dealing with the man's very childish nature then.
Oh, yeah, they're really, you know.
But women just want to say things as it is, and they don't want it to affect the man, but they don't realize he's just a big baby, right?
It is true. You know what? Once he's married, she becomes a ruler. Ruler means a rule. She wants to rule him.
Right.
She wants to tell him what to do. So she becomes a mother. she becomes like a teacher
right.
to the little boy. But she's 35 years old, 40, 60 years old.
Yeah.
But she is a really child. I'm raising one boy at my house, really. I don't have a little kid, but I have a big kid.
Wow.
But he's acting like a really small person.
Do women...
It's a full-time job. I have to take care of him like a full-time, like
yeah.
daycare job.
Yeah, yeah.
It is true. I don't know, Frank. I'm sure you're childish with your woman. I'm sure your woman tells you that, God, Frank, when am I going to grow up?
You know what my woman? You know what my woman said to me recently?
Yes.
Goodbye.
Oh no!
My woman doesn't say anything to me. But I'm telling you, in terms of problems, I understand what you're saying, and I think this is a I don't want to say.
But you're a man, so you know the story. So tell me.
Yes,
the
I do.
Truth.
I know the stories, and I agree with you. I think I agree with you. Men are stupid. They're simple. They're simple, they're stupid, and they're childish. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying to you that, and I said this to you the first time you were on this program, I said, what a tremendous journey you have trying to change the modern woman, because the modern woman doesn't feel that playing these games is good for her relationship, when in fact, it's essential.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Good.
Right?
Yes. A woman needs to understand the truth about the man, the reality of man, and then what they want. Give him what they want, really. Give them what they want. Then you will be, she will be happy.
And then, right, and then he'll do anything, right?
Oh, yeah. Then, you know what? The man's home used to be a castle.
Yeah.
And now it becomes a doghouse.
Are women afraid to do that because then a man becomes so confident that he becomes disloyal?
Oh.
Are they? You think women are afraid that they immediately set up a kind of battle front so that they could, so that because they don't want the man to have so much power? What do you think the dynamic is there?
I think a man, once she got married and her job is done as a woman.
Okay.
So because, you know, woman just wants to have a big wedding. Wedding is a woman's fantasy.
Right.
So once the wedding is done and over, come back with a honeymoon, and she doesn't know what to do with her life.
See?
Yeah,
okay.
She feels like it's marriage is already over because marriage and wedding, they think marriage and wedding are the same. Getting married and staying married are different. Getting married is only one-day event.
Mm-hmm.
But they spend, 1 year to prepare for one-day event.
Right.
They never prepare for a whole life event about marriage.
Wow. That's very profound. You know, a lot of what you say is profound. Let me take 1 second here to just tell everybody where they are, okay?
You are listening to Cotolo Chronicles.
I was listening to Cotolo Chronicles, and Cotolo is my last name, so now everybody knows, even you, Pi. And we're going into the second hour. I could talk to you for hours if only the batteries would stay charged and all this stuff, because you are just so fascinating.
Okay.
And you don't even have a degree. You figured out most of this stuff just by knowing your heritage. Right? Just by knowing your heritage.
Oh, all my experience, mm-hmm. really.
And your experience. So you're a template for what women should, every woman should read. And
I waste a fucking precious time.
Hello.
Years and years.
Yes.
Who wants to waste that time? Please don't waste
right.
it, woman, my girlfriend.
That's right. That's right. You know that you are so, I mean, I just, you're so, that's so right. Why do people, and I always say this about people who do, I just think this in general, okay, because people everywhere I go, people say I'm nuts. Do you know that?
Oh,
they do.
Really?
Because of how I behave, because I'm very, I'm just very in the moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that projects something that intimidates people and makes people feel like I'm nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but here's the deal. What I'm saying is why I look at people and who judge me like that, and I say, why do they want to feel like they have this control, like they're going to live forever, right? It's like you're saying, it's too late. It's going to be too late to do anything, isn't it?
Right.
So why don't they just let loose and just, why don't they just do what they got to do to get what they want to get?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Coop. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Pi-
I thought we lost it.
You know, I did. I mean, I did so much studying, even though it's a fictional book. I did so much studying.
Oh, yeah, for this, for the Japanese.
I really feel like I'm somehow inside of me. I'm more Japanese than I am Italian. Do you know that? I really feel like that.
Oh, really?
Because of all the studying I've done with Japan, of that culture, and of course, all the Zen that the Japanese Zen that I've been through in my life and everything has just taught me to be myself and in a certain way that really goes against the grain with Western civilization. So what you're doing, I admire it so much, but you're telling Western women to do something that's almost against their grain, though. I mean, how do they turn around? Tell us about some Western women that you've talked to who have been affected positively by what you've written and teach.
Oh, they said, so they bought one book today, then one week later, their relationship already got better.
A week?
Is it a week? Because
I was on a regular guest
as a, you know, the talk show.
Yes.
Yeah, they called. As a caller, they call and then just talk about it. Hey, I bought a Pittsburgh, and a week later, our relationship is already better.
Isn't that amazing? One week.
Yeah, second one was actually from gay couple.
She's got problems with these phones, huh? That's not me. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to call her back. Because she's, see, this is Cotolo Chronicles. I'm Frank Cotolo, and we're talking with Pai Kim here. I don't know why it keeps doing that, but let's get her right back on the phone here. Pai? No, it's busy. What is she trying to do? Call me back? She can't do that. She was just going to get to something I was going to talk about, and that is like, how should people deal with this if they're dealing with one sex? Because everybody, plays roles, on their own anyway. Okay, come on. Stop this. Okay, let's get this done. Okay, here we go. Let's try her again. She probably hung up. Either that or just had a problem with the... Here she goes. Here she is again.
Hello?
Hey, what happened? That was your phone, not mine.
No.
Wasn't it?
No.
Well, I was still...
Oh, man.
Okay. Listen, let's get back with this. This is because I was going to mention to you about this. Tell me about the gay couple, because we want to know how this translates into man-man, woman-woman... relationships. Uh-huh. How does this translate? Tell us.
Gay couple, one is more feminine, the other one is masculine.
Okay,
so always one couple has masculine and a feminine.
Right.
Couple.
So it works with
my book applies with even gay couple, even lesbian couples, because I emphasize the femininity for masculine men.
Okay.
So one is a feminine man and the other one is a masculine man.
Right. So the role.
One gay couple said, "We are already broke up. We just, I don't think we will have another chance to do it." Then we bought it. We bought your book. Then we read together. Then we set a wedding date. It's April this year.
Wow.
So they broke up and I read my book. Then they got together, set up a date for a wedding. Gay couple, I wasn't surprised.
Well, this is the other thing I love about Japanese culture, and you can testify to this so that everybody knows I'm not kidding around with this. But wasn't it at one time? I don't know if they do this anymore, but at one time when you were a guest in a Japanese household, wasn't it almost an insult if the man would offer his wife to the guest?
That story. Oh, yeah, it's kind of insulting. But I heard that it happened. But that's not really related to geisha culture.
No.
That's
but I'm saying
Japanese culture.
Right. But what I'm trying
in Korea, I don't think we have that custom.
Okay, but what I'm bringing up. Okay, but Koreans. I mean, let's face it. Koreans. I mean, it comes from Japan, comes from China. I mean, it's all the same in a sense.
Yeah, it is.
But here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that everything I ever read or learned about Japanese that culture, okay, is very liberal. It's very liberal sexually. It's like they're not judgmental.
Asian culture, because Love Hotel is there. So many Love Hotels. But can you find a Love Hotel in the U.S.?
No, because we're hung up. America has always been in the Western culture, and you know that because England and the Victorian times have always been hung up with sex. But the Japanese have always been very relaxed, and you say, you do what you do, you like what you like, as long as you're not hurting anyone, that's fine. That is your nature, correct?
Right. And have you heard about body sushi?
Who?
Body sushi?
Bobby sushi?
Body. You know, the woman lies down on the dining table, is half naked.
Go on.
And the vagina area, she covers her vagina with a kind of banana leaves.
Banana leaves, okay.
Okay. Then the sushi cook, put all the sushis all around her body.
Uh-huh.
Then customers comes in and sit around her dining table and then eat sushi out of her body.
And where is this?
Is it happening? Originally started in Japan. Now it's all over the country. Even you can visit the restaurant in Hollywood.
Wait a second. Are you telling me that there's a Hollywood restaurant that is body sushi?
Uh huh.
And how do they allow that?
It's a fantasy. It's a one dining table, one that kind of an event is $1,000 for one dinner.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay. Well, hey, I haven't heard about this, and I'm surprised I haven't, because I like to keep up
body sushi.
Body sushi.
You know, yeah, your body is a beautiful body.
Thank you. No, you mean, I know what you mean. You get a beautiful body, and then people, this is a fascinating new, it's probably new. It probably really goes back to ancient times if you look at it. I bet you if you follow it.
No, they just started like in 2004.
Well, I mean, really?
Oh, I see.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying that they are so liberal. They want to.
Yes.
Sometimes they don't. The waitress they don't wear underwear. Then they walk around to serve the teas and drinks. On the floor is all the mirrors.
Right.
So people can see her vagina and an asshole, or the ass, through the mirror.
Well, you know what? In Hollywood, you can see a lot of assholes, but that's not the point we're trying to make here. You don't have to pay. And you don't have to pay for it either. But anyway, no, this is fascinating, and we're going to look into it. Maybe we could get somebody on the show from the body sushi place.
You know, I was on the Playboy TV show. And
right.
Then one of the segments was the sexy things to do before you die.
Right.
It's a Playboy TV reality show.
Right.
It's about 69 segments. One of the segments was about Asian evening, erotic Asian evening. So I was there to give Asian tips as an expert.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't take my clothes off. But after my interview was done, the next day was actually one Asian girl was coming up to set up the body sushi.
Mm-hmm.
Then an expert from restaurant comes in and talk about this, you know, whole thing.
Uh-huh.
So
the
it was
thing,
a big
yeah.
event, really. So you might watch it in springtime, but I don't have a Playboy TV station.
No, me neither.
Who has it?
I don't know. We're just going to have to take a trip to Hollywood and see it for ourselves. That's all.
You know what? Even Google, I mean, the YouTube, you just to search body sushi.
Body sushi,
okay.
Then you
can actually watch several clips.
Wow, there's probably going to be millions of people tomorrow and over the week now because they heard it. Body sushi, huh?
Yes.
Okay, now wait a second. Would a couple go?
Couple goes. I think it's go because it's part of the full play.
Yeah, so
a
couple.
I don't think a Japanese man wants to take her wife or something. I think this is more for business.
For business,
kids, business
I see.
Partners.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Well, that's now. Wait a second. Couldn't you play body sushi at home, just the two of you?
Yeah, that's what my Valentine's Day tips for another show. You know the Learning Annex?
Yes.
Learning Annex is going to launch its own video site within 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the Learning Annex are for teaching classes. So the teachers and experts are teaching for 1 minute, 1 minute video. So call 1minuteyou.com. So I was on the show as an expert, for Valentine's Day, too. So I said, you know what? Woman, you become a body sushi model for your man.
Well, that's a good,
since
good idea.
We don't have a, in a dining table, you can really lie down. Mm-hmm. And how about you can lie down on a floor or a couch?
Now, what
about... This is a private, why don't you be just a whole naked? You don't have to cover your vagina or nipple.
Right. That's right.
So then you take out your sushi out of the Japanese restaurant and let your man put the sushi around your body, especially your vagina area, and then eat. Or you can feed him sushi, dip it in the wasabi. Wasabi is a good aphrodisiac, good for sex.
Right.
Then for dessert, after the meal is over, main course is over, for dessert, you flip over, means you lie down on your stomach.
Right.
And it puts all the chocolates or cakes around your ass area. I think a woman's ass area is so beautiful.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you, Jess?
I mean, bag is beautiful, but especially ass area, so you put... a lot of chocolates and cakes around her ass. Then and he eats the dessert. But that's another way, kind of the foreplay for anal sex or the oral sex, too. So I think it's really teasing him and teasing her is a part of a foreplay. So
gotta,
I think it's about the sushi is working good for every person.
You got to watch it, though, because if you eat a big meal and you put a lot and then you start doing positions and jumping and using your muscles, you can really get sick.
Well, okay, portion control.
Right?
Just eat a little bit. It is true. It's
you can.
You can't eat too much, but this isn't for not eating part.
I know. It's using...
Watching her body.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there I am. That's it. We ran out of time with the rest of that Pi Kim. We'll do more Pi Kim. As time goes on, we'll do more Pi Kim. That was apparently the second time she was on. Because I said I hadn't talked to her in a while. Isn't she a gas? Okay, let me tell you this book again. So you can enjoy it whether she's ever on again or we ever repeat it. Sex, what? I forgot it already. Wait, Sex of the American Geisha. Sex Secrets of an American Geisha. Sex Secrets of an American Geisha is the name of the book. Pi Kim Conant, Conant. Still right, isn't she? My name is Frank Catolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. And, okay, we'll be back next time. For now, we'll be just moving you along into this particular area right now, I guess.
That's what you can tell over there. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, then. We always do. You know what I mean. So in any event, all events, and certainly in this event, and in all event, wait, so in any event, in all events, and certainly in this event, that's how it goes. Plenty of stuff will come up between now and then, and more guests and various things that are going to happen. So be with us. Keep listening on the live stream. Tom Savino, Savino Veritas coming up. I hear Jeremy Long is there. I hear. Meantime, Juiced Talk. Oh, gosh, you know all this stuff already. Just go buy the books. License to Skill is the featured book this week. And then you'll understand when you read it why I say, good night, Mrs. Ernstweil, wherever you may be located. See? Because it has to do with that book. All right. I've said enough. We'll be back. Hopefully, everything will be okay. See you next time. When I have more to talk about, but right now I have nothing more to say.